Good morning. Thank you to the organizers for inviting us to come present about our interim report on our project that we've been working on with the CDC and NIOSH on the development and implementation of a personal protective equipment, or PPE, which is an abbreviation I'll use throughout the rest of the talk, readiness survey for Ebola virus disease as well as other contagious pathogens. Just a disclosure, this is funded by a contract through the CDC, and my opinions that I'll speak now are my own and not those of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is my team, and again, I'm not the PI. Mary Yarborough, you see on the upper left, is a PI. But just to show you kind of representation of our main study team and the different fields that we come from, I'm an infection control hospital epidemiologist, infectious disease physician at Vanderbilt, and bring that side of the equation to the program. We also have a very large steering committee to acknowledge, and I won't read the names here, but you see a diversity of experience across the specialties to really help inform this project. So a little bit of background. As you all should be aware, we've had recent outbreaks of contagious infections and infectious diseases that have really elevated the need for better standardized monitoring of personal protective equipment supplies and their use, because these are essential to protecting our healthcare personnel, and I'll use the abbreviation HCP from here on out to refer to healthcare workers. From these pathogens, it's a key part of our interventions. The 2009 H1N1 influenza A pandemic really illustrated that there was variability of applications of PPE guidance across healthcare facilities, limited capacity to actually monitor supplies and understand the actual supplies in use, and then in the event that there was a shortage, some inconsistencies across facilities and within stockpiles on availability of resources for respirators, particularly those that perhaps an institution had not fit tested for specifically. And then, of course, we're all well aware of the Ebola virus disease outbreak in 2014 and 15, in which healthcare workers were at a markedly increased risk of acquisition, particularly if they did not wear the PPE correctly or have the appropriate ensemble. We know of the Texas nurses that became infected. And a very striking statistic that a quarter of our healthcare workers, which is probably a low estimate, were unwilling to provide care to EBD patients because they felt concerned about their own safety. So the need for really having available PPE that was safe and reliable to the healthcare personnel to provide those care for those patients. Long-term, what we saw in those two outbreaks really apply to all of our highly contagious diseases, that as we get new pathogens that emerge, the demand for PPE use as a very frontline strategy for protection of healthcare personnel will grow, whether it's new pathogens like MERS or novel strains of influenza or evolving pathogens that we think we know how to handle now or bioweapon attacks as well. And PPE, if you've not been involved in a hospital and try to manage those or have a healthcare system, while very important to the hierarchy of infection control, can be very challenging to manage and something we really have found through this project even more so. And so really what was highlighted was a real need to have a standardized way to monitor, track, report preparedness, responsiveness, and outcomes in healthcare facilities, both locally but then nationally, to have that as a standardized method. And I think the best example I'll give you, if you're familiar with healthcare-associated infection reporting, where we use the National Healthcare Safety Network as a standardized platform to enter data in, we really are trying to build the mission for PPE, so to speak. So that was really, that is and still one of our major outcomes for the Pro-PPE Surveillance Project. And really also develop measures of PPE use and supply that can allow benchmarking data so that my hospital can look and see, am I prepared as I should be based on my risk, based on my healthcare personnel distribution, to guide manufacturers, distributors, to inform policy for government agencies, and really, I think, get us all more aligned as far as PPE supply and needs. So the strategy really focuses on three areas, and that's where the pro comes from. Preparedness, so are we ready for any kind of event in terms of our supplies? Responsiveness, so that when we have an event, are we following the right protocols? Are we using the right components of PPE? And then outcomes, which really what we want to prevent, are these outcome surveillance and occupational exposures in our healthcare personnel. Did we use these effectively as best we can track, and did we prevent disease? So our methods for this project, this is an interim point, we're about 18 months into our three-year project, is to review learnings from a respirator pilot study, which I'll tell you about in a second, as well as do intensive subject matter interviews to determine survey measures to assess supply availability of PPE, selection training use, healthcare populations at risk and their preparedness, and measures of occupational health and infection prevention germane to healthcare worker protection. And one major goal of this was to identify metrics and measures that were already pretty much being tracked in different silos across facilities to get them put into one standardized reporting mechanism. So in 2013, Mary Yarborough led a respirator pilot first at Vanderbilt and then four other hospitals, looking only at respirator supply tracking and patients that healthcare workers that would be at risk, and try to develop a standardized dashboard to assess your preparedness for respirator protection. And you see here just an example of data from the four hospitals and the kind of information that were obtained, including your supply of respirators, your fit testing, how many patients you had, how many respiratory isolation rooms do you have. Also tracked in there were a number of contagious infectious pathogens that were encountered. And one thing that was really highlighted in that study, and now as we've begun to implement the PRO survey, is that there are really big silos within institutions, and they may vary by institutions that may own some of these important data. But we really identified key buckets of measures and metrics that you see here on the slide that really we felt were important to track in a uniform, standardized way to help inform institutions and the larger entities of these issues. So let me give you some results and kind of where we stand now. So the measures that were selected, some are very basic. So some basic information of the hospital. So where do you live? How do you report? Any other information about your infection prevention program, like hand hygiene rates and monitoring, who you use for supply chain and medical surveillance for occupational infections. For preparedness, these are the measures that were initially proposed to be tracked: your number of airborne isolation rooms, your ability to expand those rooms through HEPA filtration, how many healthcare workers have been trained to wear both respirators and the Ebola ensemble, how many fit testing healthcare workers have been fit tested, what's the success rate, what are your inventory counts, and by location, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. What is your ensemble for Ebola protection, which we found was really hard for people to actually define? How many days supply do you have of respirators and of ensemble? The Ebola ensemble, really working with facilities, you have to have pieces and components, and basically the best way to think about it is look at a person. All pieces of that person have to be covered and protected, whether it be head, face shield, body, gloves, gowns, feet. And there are various components that you may have to make, kind of put those puzzle pieces together to have an adequate ensemble. But part of the work was really helping institutions define what was in their ensemble, what were their supplies, and then defining for them how many ensembles are ready to wear and ready to use per patients or per healthcare workers that are trained. Another capture that we have captured, and this is a sample report, you're not supposed to see the detail, but just note it's very complex and busy, was to track every component of supply of PPE within your institution by brand, by model, by size, what is your target count, what's your average day supply, and then trying to identify where your inventory was located, which may be in your patient care units, maybe through your central supply warehouses, maybe in an emergency stockpile, maybe in a separate, completely different location, like if you have a contagious disease unit that they had their own stockpiles, but being able to track in there within your institution where all the supplies are to really rapidly inform in the event that you need those equipment quickly. And then measures of responsiveness and outcomes. So calculating demand rates, so based on your PPE and exposure of the individual components, trying to track your confirmed cases of reportable pathogens, the days of isolation for the airborne and highly contagious diseases, any events where you had a healthcare worker exposed, so occupational exposure events, and in the event that any of those developed infections, those would ideally be tracked. So right now we're actually in the midst of about a year into facility training, and you see here our predominant partners. Those in red are those that have done multiple surveys for us. This was initially designed as a quarterly survey. Some feedback we've found that actually that's a little bit too burdensome, so now we're in an annual survey. And then we're actually expanding out west. You see some facilities out in the west, in or out in Utah and LA County, as well as we're now doing our first health system, the Tennessee Highland Rim Healthcare Coalition in western Tennessee. So we're now just learning things as we've rolled this out and getting feedback from our end users. And the goal at the end of 3 years is to really have a finalized, structured survey, informatics, web-based survey that ideally would build onto this basically National Healthcare Safety Network for PPE tracking. And what we have found from facilities, even those like mine, which we thought, well, we're perfect, we all talk to each other, know where everything is that we really could have, we have more opportunity to improve that communication. There was a lot of unfamiliar terminology with different silos. So what's the difference between fluid resistant and impermeable in terms of the Ebola components? A lot of individuals found that their ensemble, they all defined what was in their ensemble together, and it was variable across institution. The supply chain was not often understood by key stakeholders or the degree to which supplies were available within their system. Purchasing and distribution varied by the hospitals, and the choices of PPE, particularly for EBV or EDV, was very overwhelming. We had five different hospitals initially give us information with 44 different pieces of PPE that fed into the Ebola ensemble. And you can imagine if you're trying to stockpile across a region or a regional surplus stockpile, that's going to be really challenging, or if you try to do uniform training towards PPE use. PPE use tends to be different by task and role and tend to silo. The emergency departments were doing something different than the other areas, than the contagious disease units. Ancillary supplies were often overlooked. We found from several institutions they weren't tracking PAPR batteries as part of their critical PPE components, so they could have the supplies, but if they ran out of batteries, those hoods would not be very effective. And I think really integrated team coordination, and we did find that some information was very difficult to capture and not track, and particularly on the end of occupational infections, that many places could not define how many exposed healthcare workers there were, nor how many infections had been acquired in their healthcare workers. So those actually have fallen off the survey because that was too burdensome to track, but I think it's an important outcome to capture. So I'll end there and happily take questions at the end. Just if anyone's interested in participating, I can happily sign you up to continue to field test this awesome surveillance system. So thank you.